Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Here we are without Jack Stogler right now. He'll be with us in a moment or two. He is on the phone. I think he is talking with our scheduled guest, Steve Stone, who this time of year is generally running around like crazy. I know he's got several different of his crews doing all kinds of stuff, including the stone wall. They're going to be replacing that in Krenning Park there in between the bank and the monument building. And so I know he's got a lot of stuff going on, and so we have Rocker right now.
Oh, hi, Neil.
How we doing?
Good.
I like to hear that. We'll find out in a little bit what Jack is finding out, and he may or may not be talking to Steve Stone. He got a phone call just as we got ready to start, so not exactly sure what that was, but I think it's our scheduled guest. But anyway, we'll do some stuff. Do you want to start in on your stuff? You want to just chit chat for a little bit on stuff going on?
Well, might as well.
Okay.
On this day in September 24, 1964, the Monsters moved into the neighborhood. What a show that was.
Yep. Monsters and the Addams Family all came along about the same time, and both of them were, I thought, pretty funny and pretty good.
10 years before I was born, now.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. That was pretty neat, and now they have a new, some sort of show about Wednesday that was the daughter.
Oh, that's Addams Family.
Oh, is it? I see. I couldn't remember all that stuff. Yep. Okay. I'm seeing the, it was Marilyn that was the semi-normal daughter on the Munsters. Yep. And so, okay. So we have, that.
And followed 4 years later by 60 Minutes started ticking.
Oops, I got to get the Munsters off, and then we'll get the.
There we go. Mike Wallace and the late Ed Bradley.
Yep.
Along with many others.
Yep. Mike Wallace was pretty good, and it was always interesting when he started in on somebody, and that was good. But I really liked who was the other guy?
Ed Bradley.
Ed Bradley. I loved him. He was really good.
The old guy at the end.
Art Carney. No, Andy quite. Rooney.
Andy Rooney. Yes.
60 Minutes. So you have
still on the air, by the way.
Yes, they are. Almost every week.
Are we on the air yet?
Yes, we are. We've been just chit-chatting, and we started in on Rocker stuff. So
fantastic.
Is he still coming?
Yep.
Okay, then I better speed this up then.
Oh, no, that wasn't Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a different phone call.
Oh, we were hoping that was Steve.
Oh, no.
Okay, so, all right.
Well, I said I better speed my stuff up. So, September 25th, 1978, Halloween creeps into the theaters, starring Jamie Lee Curtis.
What's the name of it?
Halloween.
Oh, that was big.
Yeah, so for its period, for its time, it was the first of the, what you call, slasher-type movies.
She was a scream queen for a long time.
For the longest time. The daughter of Tony Curtis, of course.
Yeah. So, and then she went on to play the mother in, like, one of the most recent
Disney movies?
No. Like another Halloween type thing.
Yeah, she was the grown-up mother, yeah.
Yeah. So, are you a horror movie fan?
Not as strong as some other people, but I can In my mind, a horror movie should not make you laugh. It should make you scared. And a lot of the movies today, they make you laugh. Like Chucky. I mean, after the first one, it was just a joke.
Yeah.
I don't watch any of them, so I don't care.
1994, this one's a sad one, sadly. Marks the 30-year anniversary of Susan Smith, who drowned her two boys into the lake in North Carolina. Yeah.
That was that long ago?
Then proceeded to blame it on a black man, which started damn near a race riot.
Yep.
30 years ago. Is that hard? And then she's...
Seems like 10 years ago.
Ironically, she's up for parole this year.
Really?
That might be a hard sell.
You know, what drives a person to do that, you know?
Mental illness.
That has to be. I would think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Says in the daytime.
Yep, I hope it's me again.
Not quite. Unless
darn.
Well, I'll just say her name is Shelley Vaughn.
Oh, really good. That's a good one. It's a really good one.
Here's the fun part where everybody lights. Celebrity birthday time.
Do you have any local birthdays?
I don't have Facebook anymore, so I don't get those.
Well, we have to wish a happy birthday to Jude Vivian Stogler, who turned 1 day old today. Seth and Madison Stogler had a little baby girl yesterday. Or was it Monday? Tuesday. Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. So we'd like to welcome into the world and make her our honorary citizen of the day.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Even if it's not today, it's still, that's perfect. That's awesome. Welcome to the world.
Welcome to the world.
I hope it's still here when you're 10. Where we're going, it might not be. We might have World War III starting out in the Middle East.
Celebrity birthday time.
Celebrity birthday. And birthdays. We should also note that Monday was Courtney Roar's birthday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we...
She's my favorite Roar.
Is that...
Yes.
I don't let...
She better not be.
Well, she is.
So, happy belated birthday, Courtney.
Yep.
Okay, now you can go ahead.
Celebrity birthday time. Kevin Sorbo turns 66.
Well,
Hercules.
Oh, okay.
Kevin who?
Sorbo.
Sorbo. Huh? I sounds vaguely familiar.
And Nia Vardalos, the Greek gal, my big fat Greek wedding.
Oh, okay.
Today's birthdays. Michael Douglas turns 80.
He's 80.
Wow.
And I think this is his wife's birthday.
Yes, very good. Don't rush the bit.
Oh, well, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, it's her birthday. She's 55. 55 and 80. That's a hell of an age difference.
Well, it's not that much of an age difference at that age, but 30 years ago when they got married, it was.
Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, is 73. 72.
Three. Good guess, though. 73.
Character actor Michael Madsen is 66. He played all the tough guys, got roles. Yep. We got Heather Locklear, 62.
62.
Heather Lochtefeld.
Locklear.
Oh.
Stay with me.
Well, I know Heather Lochtefeld. I don't know Heather Locklear.
Very good. Will Smith turns 56, the old slapper himself.
Don't say anything mean about his wife.
Yep.
Don't make a joke. Don't make a joke about her.
He'll make you out.
You mean no hair herself?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that was from a disease, Randy. Is it nice to make fun of people with diseases?
I didn't take her hair off.
No, neither did she.
There you go.
It was medications and
Neil. Can I slap Rocker?
Yes.
Yeah. And everybody's favorite supermodel in the '70s, Cheryl Tate, turned 77.
That's nice.
That really ages you, you know, and like. You find out those hot women are now 77 years old.
Holy. Well, and never, I'm guessing you didn't, but maybe old Stevie boy over here probably had her Farrah Fawcett's poster.
Well, no. Who didn't?
I didn't. Yeah.
Who didn't?
I didn't. I was 85 when she was famous.
There's no way.
Yeah, okay.
So you're 163 now?
Yeah.
Okay. You look a good looking 163.
Thank you.
I'll get out of the way for the real guest.
Rocker, it is always a pleasure. And next week?
It will be the pop culture rant.
A rant. Fantastic. So,
adios, folks.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our friend
Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green.
Back momentarily.
Right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Public is invited to Fall Fest at Christ Chapel on Wabash Road across from the Fort Recovery Lumber Company. It'll be held on Sunday, September 29th from noon to 6. There will be activities for people of all ages with free food and drinks, live music, a cornhole tournament, bingo, lots of kiddies games and youth games, and did I mention free food and drinks? Also a corn maze, inflatables, crafts for the kids, mini tractor rides, and lots of fun for people of all ages. And did I mention the free food and drinks? It's open to everyone in the community, and it's all free. So stop out anytime on Sunday, September 29th, and stay as long as you like. Lots of activities for people of all ages. And did I mention free food and drinks? Christ Chapel Fall Fest, Sunday afternoon, September 29th from noon to 6 on Wabash Road across from Fort Recovery Lumber. Trader Days is coming up Thursday through Sunday, October 3rd through 6th at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road. Weekend wristbands are just $5 each. Step out and see old friends and make some new friends. Don't miss this big annual event with vendors selling everything from coon dogs, tools, and collectibles to guns and knives to beef jerky and cheese and just about anything else you can think of from dozens and dozens of vendors from all over the Midwest. You'll need to enter from the south off Watkins Road and turn north onto St. Peter Road. There's plenty of parking and there will be gravel driveways. Plenty of food will be available on the grounds, including their famous barbecue chicken dinners on Saturday starting at 4 o'clock. Don't miss Trader Days, Thursday through Sunday, October 3rd through 6th at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road.
We're back. Insight. And we want to thank Rockers for filling in so admirably while Steve rushed to get here. And we welcome into studio again, Mr. Steve Stone. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes,
sir.
We appreciate you taking some time out of your obviously very busy season to stop in and chit chat with us.
Well, no problem. Happy to do it.
Yeah. So is this a busy time for you?
Yeah, fall's a great time. I mean, normally. Not as busy as spring.
Sure.
Not as busy in April and May, but certainly October is our good months, our busy months, and great time for planting and seeding and all those things normally.
Yeah.
Now, this late summer, fall has been
different
and difficult.
So, well, I tell you what. So let's start with the whole drought thing. Okay, so we went through, and I don't know what the official length of time was, but at least a 6 to 8 week drought. Okay, to where we didn't get hardly any rain from early August to the second week in September, you know. And the grass certainly showed it. So what should people do or not do at this point?
Panic.
The biggest thing during the drought, I think Fort Recovery, Bubba's usually on top of the rain.
Oh, yeah.
I had just a little over 2 inches of rain, but I talked to some people in St. Henry and Coldwater, and they were pushing 3.
Really?
So they certainly somehow got it, another inch that we somehow missed.
Yeah.
So that's incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not, doesn't do anything for the beans and the corn. They pretty much called it quits quite a number of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so harvest is in pretty much full swing right now. And I've heard that the drought for the corn definitely is going to affect yield.
I spoke to a guy on Sunday who said he took off 700 acres, averaged over 200 bushels an acre.
That sounds pretty good.
It sounds really good. He said one field, it was 260.
Wow. I would never have guessed that as dry as it was.
Yeah.
And then
he said he got those were the ones that got planted first, and they got more rain and
they probably matured a little bit earlier.
Yep.
And then I've heard some people say that the beans are small, like BBs in some cases.
Yeah.
depending on, again, when you know. It was spotty all summer. The rain was spotty all summer, so some fields may have gotten more than others. You know, for the most part, I've been in the business for 33 years, and this is one of the, probably one of the more severe droughts that I can remember, the time of year and the temperatures.
Yeah.
I mean, we can tolerate, grass and plants can tolerate not having rain if it's, typical, end of September. I mean, if we have 75, 80 degree days, it's not nearly as hard on the plants or the landscapers like, 90, 91, 92 degrees. I mean, that's brutal on the plants. And so it was kind of a combination of a lot of things. And it certainly is going to have a negative effect. And 2 inches is hugely beneficial, but it certainly doesn't mean the drought's over and the plants are fine and everything. We just go about our merry way. The ground is dry down deep. I mean, we've recently dug a swimming pool and we were 6 feet down and it's powder. I mean, as deep as we could go, it was powder the whole way down. So it's going to take some rain to get that moisture level back up where it needs to be. You know, was this hugely helpful? Yes. Are we going to start to see the lawn start to green back up? Sure. I mean, they're going to start to perk back up. But as far as, if you look at the forecast, hopefully the 10-day forecast, I think we've broken out of that cycle where there's absolutely no rain in the forecast. There's a possibility we're awfully far north, but there's a slight possibility that we could get a little bit from this hurricane that's coming up through Florida. They say it's going to travel right up I-75 and that we're supposed to get some. And then some weather models says it's going to just kind of peter out down around Cincinnati. But we certainly need a lot more rain. And watering is, I mean, I've talked about it to numerous people and clients and talked to different groups and people and organizations, and it's just like, you know, people in Fort Recovery's, I don't think that way, but certainly, you know, cold water, the water's expensive, and people are like, wow, I just don't want to water, it's just too expensive. And it's like, well,
yeah,
replacing trees, shrubs, and lawns is going to be a heck of a lot more expensive than a $300 or $400 water bill for running water. And
I think there's a guilt complex that comes into play when, like, you're watering your yard and it hasn't rained in a long time, and I think people have in the back of their mind that, you know, what's he doing, you know, watering his lawn when
right.
we're in this drought, you know, type thing. So
I haven't heard too much in our area, but it was definitely in the Cincinnati, Dayton, in those areas, there was a lot of communities that were putting on watering bans on turf and washing your car and stuff like that. I never heard that too much around our area, but certainly there is a... Yeah, I mean, you certainly, when you get
it's a commodity, you know?
When you get as dry as what it has been, I mean, certainly some people are going to look at you a little cross-eyed if you're out, you know, watering the grass. Yeah. But again, the turf, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me how the lawns are going to react to this. And my answer is, if you stayed off your lawn, if you minimize traffic and not out there, you know, in town's not an issue, but if you're out in the country and the kids have four-wheelers and dirt bikes and stuff and they're driving all over the big Polaris things, the turf's not going to recover from as dry as it's been, as long as it's been with heavy traffic. You're certainly going to be looking at reseeding. There's going to be turf that just simply is not going to survive that. If you stayed off your lawn and minimized traffic, kept the lawnmower off of it, and again, just simply minimized traffic, the crown of the, it's called the meristem, the crown of the plant that's still alive and is going to help the plant recover, chances are that's probably fine, and you are going to see the lawn recover. 2 inches is going to be very helpful. I don't know. 2 inches is certainly not going to make your lawn lush and beautiful like it was in May.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, fall would be a great time for, you know, overseeding, spot seeding, aeration, slice seeding. Those are all things that could be done this fall yet that's going to help promote health for the turf density, and then again applying some new seed with the time of year that it is, it's perfect.
How at what point will you know whether your lawn's going to need that or not?
I would say probably within the next week or two. If we get another, you know, maybe inch it blows through, the lawns are going to kind of start to green up and try to heal. And then at that point, you're going to be able to see, you know, where the turf is thick and full and coming back in. And then you're certainly going to see areas that are just simply doing nothing.
Yeah.
And those are the areas that you're going to have to look at, you know, possibly doing again some slice seeding, overseeding, to get some new seed down there to get those, you know, it depends on the type of grass that you have. If you have Kentucky bluegrass, it's a rhizomatous growing type of a grass, so it spreads from underground tillers. So it will fill in faster than if you have like a turf type tall fescue, that's a bunch or a clump type grass, and so it takes longer to fill in thin spots. And so, you know, I always say if you got a Kentucky bluegrass lawn, if your bare spots are as big as your fist, just fertilize the heck out of it and it will fill itself in. If the spots are, you know, the size of a basketball or beach ball or something, those aren't going to fill in quickly.
Yeah.
And so you probably would want to look at doing some reseeding, overseeding at that point to get those to fill in a lot faster.
And then as far as the fertilizing, do you not want to fertilize when your lawn is sick or?
It depends on what you apply. I mean, I knew I tried to water, but my yard's pretty big. And so it looks really ridiculous now because there's a few areas you can see where I watered and then there's areas that didn't. So I have like these crop circles in my yard that are bright green and some places are brown. It looks ridiculous if you slow down and really look at the side yard. I got some really cool rings out there that are perfectly green. I was trying to time because I knew it had been a long time since I applied fertilizer and I was trying to time the rain that I would apply before the rain came. Well, I missed that. So actually, I fertilized last night. I was out, got home late again, and was pushing the spreader in the dark. So I'm sure my neighbors think I'm, like, odd, but that's fine. I fertilized last night, and I used a slow-release fertilizer. There's lots of different types of fertilizers on the market, and they can be, you know, very, very, very inexpensive to, you know, quite a bit more money. The cheaper fertilizers is fine, but it releases immediately. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you a blast of food or fertility, you know, for a short period of time, and then it's gone relatively quickly. If you use a good turf fertilizer that's half or 50% slow release, instead of if you can see my graph here on the radio, if you use the cheaper fertilizer, there's lots of really sharp peaks and valleys in my graph. If you use a slow release fertilizer, you make really soft waves as far as fertility goes. And so it feeds over a lot longer period of time. And I've put a slow release fertilizer on, so it's not going to burn the turf because it's not going to get released until we get some rain. But I fertilized last night because I knew it had been probably since July was the last time I applied anything because it was so dry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wasn't applying anything. When it was dry, I wasn't applying anything, and I was really trying to minimize traffic. I didn't mow for, I can't remember. I'll bet I didn't mow for 5 weeks.
Yeah. So how do you know when things start to green up here in the next week or so? Should you be patient as far as when you go in and mow it?
Most definitely. I mean, yeah, I saw people, you know, all through the drought, and I'm very particular, obviously very particular about my yard, but I mow as infrequently as I can because, and then when I mow really high, especially in the summertime. The mower. Deck is really high. That's what I was trying to say. you want to mow with that deck up really high because the longer the blade of grass, the more tolerant the grass is of drought and heat. And if you mow really short, I mean, unless you don't like mowing, and then mow really short and your lawn's going to brown out and you're never going to have to mow all summer long. But I mow in the summertime about as high as I can mow, which is 3.5 inches-ish. And I watered the front yard, but it stayed pretty nice just because I didn't mow it and I stayed off of it. And it, you know, some people are awfully particular and you do get, you know, crabgrass, foxtail, all different types of grassy weeds and, you know, weeds that want to come up along the edge. Especially I had stuff growing out along the road.
Yeah.
And then I had stuff growing down along the cornfield to the south of me. And some people will see that and they just got to do something with it. So they'll mow. And I saw a lot of people that I'm out driving a lot, visiting with clients and on appointments. And I am absolutely just flabbergasted when I'm driving around during this middle of this severe drought that we had and seeing people mowing. And all they were doing was mowing off, you know, foxtail, crabgrass, and the planting that puts up the big long head with the long stringy. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, just stop. Just put the mower back.
You're doing more damage to the grass at that point.
If you're taking a heavy rider across a turf that's super stressed, just to get a few weeds knocked down, you're just causing a tremendous amount of damage. Mowing's really important to keep your lawn looking nice and looking healthy. I mean,
when it's alive,
people say, you know, just mow it anytime. Thought that should go into it as far as timing goes. Work doesn't allow, but I never mow during the day in the heat of the day.
Yeah.
Always mow in the evenings because you're cutting that blade of grass. I mean, that's a wound, and more moisture will evaporate. You lose more moisture out of that when you do it at the heat of the day than if you do it in the evening. So mowing tall, mowing in the evenings makes, or mornings, doesn't matter, but just not in the heat of the day.
Not in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to keep your lawn looking nice, you know, through the heat of the summer.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and come back and talk about some of the trees and bushes and stuff that have also been under a little bit of duress the past few weeks. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
It's time for supper and you don't have time to make a great meal. No problem. Let Miracle Lanes come to the rescue. With their full menu of great food, everybody can get what they want. Subs, sandwiches, wraps, salads, wings, and of course their great pizza. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And don't miss their pizza, wing, and salad buffet on Friday at lunch. And remember to call and reserve your lanes for that special birthday party, family get-together, holiday party, or just for fun. Great food, great friends, great times. Miracle Lanes, open Monday through Thursday at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11. Recovery Knights of Columbus are having a pork loin dinner on Sunday, October 13th, with drive-through pickup from 4 to 6 p.m. at 1100 Commerce Street in the Industrial Park. It will be pre-sale only, and you can order your dinners by using one of the envelopes found in any of the cluster churches, St. Peter, St. Joseph, St. Paul's in Sharpsburg, or Mary Help of Christians, as well as St. Anthony Church and St. Mary's in Philothea. Ordering information is in the envelope. Or you can also call or text 567-644-5927 for tickets. Be sure to order your pork loin dinners by Wednesday, October 2nd, and why not order a few extra for a quick meal throughout the week? Don't miss the Knights of Columbus pork loin dinner on Sunday, October 13th from 4 to 6. Pick them up at the new KFC Hall in the Industrial Park. Be hosting their third annual golf outing on Saturday afternoon, October 5th at the Mercer County Elks, with the shotgun start at 1 o'clock and registration starting at noon. There are a limited number of spots still available, so get entered now by going to racing4relief@gmail.com or by calling or texting Alan Seifring at 419-852-0907 or John Yoder at 419-953-7762. Besides a great day of golf to help a great cause, there will be door prizes, tip books, and a 50-50 drawing. The cost is just $60 per golfer and is payable the day of the event. Racing for Relief is a great local organization that donates money to fire, EMT, and police departments all over the area. And this fun event is a good way for you to have fun and help them raise money for local first responders. Get signed up now for this fun golf outing by going to racing4relief@gmail.com. Coming up on Saturday, October 5th at 1 o'clock at the Mercer County Elks.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Steve Stone from Nature's Green Nursery and talking about the effects of the drought. So Steve, just to touch one more time on the lawn piece of it. So when people do go out and decide to mow again, you would recommend that they raise the deck and don't mow very short then?
Yeah, I mean, don't set the deck down. Mow at an at a normal, whatever you're, you should never mow bluegrass any lower than 2 inches. Like I said, I mow at 3.5. You never want to mow any lower than 2 inches. 2.5, I would recommend probably 2.5 spring and fall, and then move that up to 3 in the summertime. And turf type tall fescue is a lot more tolerant of yep. mowing height and certainly more tolerant of heat. So turf type tall fescue can make it through a summer like we had, nearly unscathed. This year was pretty severe, but nearly unscathed because they just, that type of grass just tolerates heat better and is a lot more deeply rooted. And so it can get through a hot summer easier than bluegrass. Bluegrass is a great grass seed, a great turf when you have moisture, but when you don't have consistent moisture, it's hard to keep looking nice. I mean, people talk about what's the best type of turf, or always ask me what the best type of turf grass is, and it's hard to argue that bluegrass is, to me, the prettiest. It's the darkest color, very fine texture, but we only have about 4 months that it's happy. Yeah. And those 4 months would be April, May, and probably September and October.
Yeah.
Those are the only months that it's really, truly happy. Other than that, you know, turf type tall fescue certainly probably is a better turf because it's going to tolerate the heat so much better. It tolerates cold fine. So it's just going to look nicer longer. The difference is just the texture. The texture of a turf type tall fescue is more coarse.
Yep.
And it's also a few shades of green lighter. Yep. Now, 30 years ago when I started Nature's Green, we probably did, you know, 90-95% bluegrass lawns, and we did a few fescue. Now I would say that we're probably pushing 50-50.
Yep.
Reason being, the genetics of the fescue has gotten dramatically better. So if you're walking past, riding a bicycle past, or certainly driving a car past 2 yards, and one's fescue and one's bluegrass, 9 out of 10 people aren't going to be able to tell a difference. Now, if you walk across it or mow it, you're going to be able to tell a difference because it's a coarser turf. It's the blades are more rigid or hard. But at a glance, you're really not going to be able to tell a lot of difference. And so the fescues are better in that they tolerate heat better. They don't require as much fertilizer like nitrogen to keep them happy and healthy and thick. And there's claims that they are better, more disease and insect resistant than bluegrass. I argue that a little bit because I see issues with them. But if you, depending on who you read and what study you read, you know, technically they're supposed to be better for insects and disease. So
let's touch on, you know, the drought also had a pretty negative effect on a lot of people's flower beds and you know, landscaping. So what's your first recommendation?
First recommendation would be just simply watering. The best thing to do would be to, you know, go to Wanglers, and they have a nice selection, because I was out there and bought 3 or 4 of the long porous soaker hoses, and you put them on your hose bib or take them, you know, out into your landscaping, and they're a black hose. They're not expensive at all, and you string them out through your landscaping beds, around your shrubs, trees, wherever, and then just, you know, connect them to your hose bib and turn them on and walk away. They just leak or weep water, and they're inexpensive. They're easy. You can really do a lot of bed area with those, and just makes a huge difference in, you know, just the health of the plants, because you're watering very slow, which is good. If you have a lot of iron in your water, like I do, I can't put a sprinkler up next to my house because I'm going to get the iron rust stains on my house. So I use the soaker hoses all around the house and just kind of lay them in and around the landscaping, turn them on, walk away, let them run for an hour, hour and a half. Come back, turn them off, move them, and turn them back on again. It really works great.
So on a mature bed, you know, with not new plants, you would do that
once a week?
This summer, absolutely. I mean, I've got tons of mature perennials, coneflowers and Rebecca and cranesbill and just all kinds of stuff. And this summer, everything just started looking bad.
Yeah.
And it was just obviously it was lack of moisture. And so sure. I just started watering. And some of that, I mean, I had birch trees that have been in for, I don't know, I guess two of them have been in for 24 years because I've been there for 24 years. I've been there longer than Doc Meyering's been there.
Yep. So, he wasn't really? There.
He was there 20 years.
He was yeah. there 20?
He was there 20. That was, the house was built in 1980.
Really?
It was built 1980.
I would have guessed at 30 years old or less.
No,
I mean, it's still.
He built that. It's hard to believe. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, him and his family lived there. Barb lived there for 20 years because we bought it in 2000.
Yeah.
And so we've been there 24 years and Doc was only there for 20 years.
Wow.
So anyhow, those birch trees are 24 years old and they just really started, the foliage started turning yellow and they started yeah. defoliating. And I'm like, gosh, dang, man, it must be dry.
Yeah.
And so I started watering those. And I mean, the next day, just boom, the leaves were perkier and you could just tell. I mean, it made a huge difference. And, you know, I just kept delaying. I'm busy at work and I just kept delaying watering. Oh, the rains are going to come. Oh, the rains are going to come. Yeah. Oh, the rains are going to come. And then at some point, everything just looked absolutely horrible. Yeah. And then I just started watering. And at that point, I was, you know, kind of behind the eight ball. It's hard to get caught back up. But like I said, it was, you know, I'd put it in the, not historic, but pretty severe yeah. drought we've been through. And so, again, you know, trees like those birch trees have been in for 20 years, and they were thirsty, like yeah. really thirsty. Your deciduous trees, the ones that lose their leaves, are going to tolerate drought as good as anything.
Yep.
Because if you look around, I don't know what's going to happen now that we finally got this rain. If it would have continued as dry as what it has been, the trees would have just simply shed, not yeah. seen much fall color. They would have just called it quits early because they just simply didn't have enough moisture. Now that we've had a few rains, you know, maybe we'll see some fall color. I don't think we're going to see a banner year
yeah.
because trees are already deciduous trees are already starting to defoliate because of, again, they don't have adequate moisture. So their solution is, let's call it quits early,
yep.
and then hopefully we have a mild winter, and then we'll hit the ground running in the spring. But that's not to say, I don't want to say discourage you from watering your deciduous trees, because they certainly need water. The plants that are really going to take it on the chin would be all your different types of evergreens, spruces, yep. pines, arborvitaes, especially bigger trees like spruces and pines. Those just simply don't tolerate like dry weather.
Really?
Their roots are very shallow in the soil. And the deciduous trees hold all their nutrient food reserves and water and stuff in their roots because they're dormant for 5 months every year. Evergreens hold all their food reserves, moisture, everything in their needles and because they never go dormant, technically. Yeah. So the physiology of the plants are completely different. So when the evergreens get thirsty, they start shedding needles because they don't have enough moisture to keep all the needles alive. So they reduce the density to kind of even out with the moisture level that they have. And if they go into a severe winter, if we'd have a really severe winter with really cold temperatures, lots of wind, snowfall doesn't make a lick of difference, but if it's dry and windy and cold and windy and no, you know, snow ends up melting and becoming moisture for the plants, you're going to see a lot of plants, evergreens, just simply croak over the wintertime because there just isn't enough moisture to keep them alive. So if you're going to water anything, water your evergreens, your spruces, your pines, your arborvitaes, your junipers, all those things, because they need to go into winter hydrated, because yeah. if they don't, they're going to be shot in the spring.
I'll be damned. Neil, let's take a little break. Come back and talk about coneflowers and rose bushes and daylilies and when are we going to start trimming things down?
Other perennials.
Other perennials. We'll be back after this.
There's one one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steaks, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. And don't forget about their hamburgers, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their largest selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host the New Knoxville Lady Rangers and will simulcast WPGW for that match with their audio also on the NFHS video. On Friday, the football team will travel to New Bremen and will bring you that game live with our pregame show starting at 6:40. Then on Saturday, the Lady Indians will play in the Crestview Lady Knights Invitational with some of the best teams in the state playing that day. We'll bring you all three of their matches that day, with the first one scheduled to start around 10 a.m. Get out and support our Indians teams this week, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler talking to Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green Nursery. And Steve, before we get on to the perennials and the shrubs, I'm sure that you want to recognize on this, the Happy National Daughters Day. I think you have a couple of them out there that you would love to recognize right now.
I do have. I mean, you have two of the best. I also have two of the best.
Yes, sir.
I got two of the best. They're both rock stars. Corey is a wonderful daughter, wife, and she works at the Wayne Hospital in Greenville, RN, and she is fantastic.
Now, I believe she's the one that went to the University of Kentucky and was a Wildcat.
She was a Wildcat. I proudly wore a Wildcat hat for 4 years, and as soon as she graduated and got a job, that sucker went in the trash. And I don't have any intentions of getting it back out.
Why didn't you give it to me?
Why? You never asked.
Never.
I didn't know you had one. I never saw it. You must have just worn it in the house.
No.
Watching the basketball
game. I actually wore it quite a bit when she was in school. I'd root for the Wildcats.
Yeah, unless they were playing Ohio State.
Unless they were playing Ohio State. Yeah,
and I'm the other way around. I always root for Ohio State unless they're playing Kentucky in basketball. I don't care about football. They'll never play anyway. And there's no reason for them to ever play each other.
And then there's Carly Shea, and she is fantastic as well. She was a Buckeye. Yep. So
she's your favorite then, is that what you're saying?
Now, that's what Corey would say. That's exactly what Corey would say, and that is absolutely not true.
So Corey's your favorite.
I have a son too that's absolutely fantastic. So yeah,
so he's your favorite.
All of three of the kids are going to take a back seat here in about 3 months when that first grandchild comes, most likely.
Yep. Yeah, we've got a big change coming with a grandbaby here in the first week of December. That's going to be exciting. Except I'm not old enough to be a grandpa. So.
I know. You know what? You can keep telling yourself that, but that man in the mirror,
What are you talking about, that gray I got going on here?
Oh my God. I thought you just dyed it gray to make yourself look mature.
Blonde. Yeah. It's blonde.
Oh.
It's not gray.
Platinum.
So I tell you what, we talked about the lawns, we talked about trees, and the bush, you know, like the hydrangeas and the daylilies and hostas, you know.
There was nothing that wasn't hurt, hindered or damaged this year with the heat and the lack of, you know, again, kind of a perfect storm. We had tremendous heat and we had zero rain for a long period of time. So it was a tough combination.
So does that change your timing of when you would cut things down? When like things aren't looking good, I think you're more tempted to go in and just cut the damn things down for winter
There's certainly an argument for that, but you have to remember what you're doing. Like woody trees and shrubs, whether it's a spirea or boxwood or taxus or hydrangea, whatever, something that's woody like that, we're back to what I mentioned about the grass. You're cutting or opening a wound on that plant, and that is going to be an avenue for moisture, more moisture to get out than it's lacking already. It also opens up a wound that you can let a decay organism get in, or open up a possibility of insects to come in. So in a plant that's stressed is going to be way more susceptible to anything like I just mentioned. So I would not suggest doing any kind of pruning and trimming on anything, really, during the drought that we've had. Now, perennials are a little bit different. Daylilies, you know, they started looking ratty again because of lack of rainfall. Yep. I know my Rebecca or Black-Eyed Susan started looking bad. Peonies shut down a little earlier than they normally do, which they always get looking kind of crappy in the fall anyhow. You know, so that stuff you certainly can trim back and you're not going to hurt anything. The herbaceous perennials. My hostas, again, same thing. They started going yellow and looking horrible on the north side of my house. I ran a soaker hose that was the night I forgot to turn them off and I let it run all night. The next day, it was amazing. They really perked up. And again, it's not too early to start thinking about taking some of the perennials back, especially if they're stressed anyhow. But just be careful on pruning and trimming like the woody stuff. If you can get by without doing it, just simply, you know, keep the pruners in the garage. You don't need to worry about it right now.
So we had talked about like coneflower waiting until spring to cut those down.
There's a lot of perennials there's a lot of perennials that'll give you, you know, pretty neat what I call winter interest. Like all the ornamental grasses, I think I never usually don't trim mine back till spring because they die and the foliage turns brown, but the ornamental grasses will stand all winter long. And I think they're gorgeous with snow, frost, heavy frost on them. So I leave those up for winter interest. Coneflowers are another one. They kind of get looking ratty. To me, they're not as pretty as what the ornamental grasses are during the winter, but the trade off on the coneflowers are those seed heads that they produce have seeds in them, and the purple finches and the yellow finches, gold finches, will, if they find them in your lawn, they'll just absolutely attack those plants this time of year because those seeds have ripened and they'll hang on those little thin stems and they will sit there and just pick all those seeds out of the seed head. So obviously, you know, good for the environment, good for the wildlife because you're feeding them. Yep. And, you know, everybody puts out the feeders to attract the finches. Well, I mean, plant 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 coneflowers and you don't have to fill the feeder. Yeah. You know, Mother Nature will do it for you every season, and then they come back in the fall and they'll clean them all up for you. And then you just trim those back in the spring.
I'm amazed at how many butterflies, grasshoppers, bees, all kinds of little insects that I've got littering around my flower garden.
The coneflowers, and and I plant a lot of annuals every year, but the coneflowers, and there's, of course, the daylilies, and there's a bunch of different varieties of sedum. Sedum is a, usually like a fall flowering perennial. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different types of sedum. The old-fashioned ones they called live forever because you can't hardly kill them. But there's a lot of really neat different varieties. Some are ground cover that'll stay really close to the ground. Some will get up to 24 to 28 inches tall. I got a bunch of different types of sedum in my landscape, A, because it's hard to kill them. You don't have to water them. I mean, they're just really awesome plants. The sedum that I had out front this year, I never watered once. But you talk about a plant that when it's in bloom, the butterflies, bees, hummingbirds, I mean, they are alive with insects working the flowers. And so
like, what does a sedum look like?
How do you describe that, Neil?
Flowery.
sedum, it reminds you of a succulent plant because the leaves are thick, really thick and fleshy. So it's like a succulent. It almost looks like a succulent. And the flowers have a very flat panicle at the top. And they're usually somewhere in the, there's white varieties. And then there's like light pink, dark pink, mauve color. And then some have like real dark purple foliage. Some, they have great texture and color to the foliage, and so the foliage is cool and the flowers are cool and they're hard to kill. So it's a really cool perennial flower, really, really, really easy to grow. Tolerates all different types of soil, whether it's clay or, you know, little dry, little damp. They just, they're easy to grow.
Fantastic. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break and come back, and we're going to touch on all the things that we should be doing now, whether it's being patient, staying off of our lawn for a while until it greens up, or exactly what we need to do. And we'll touch on the points that we've covered in the past hour right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Harold Peely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Fort Recovery. Fall is in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Girl Scouts will be hosting a spaghetti dinner on Sunday, October 6th from noon to 2. It will be drive-through carry-out only, and the dinners can be picked up at the American Legion. Tickets are just $10 each and can be purchased from any Fort Recovery Girl Scout or Girl Scout leader, and the dinners include spaghetti and meat sauce, salad, a breadstick, and dessert. Get with one of our local Girl Scouts now and get your tickets for their spaghetti dinner served on Sunday, October 6th from noon to 2 at the Legion, drive-through only. All proceeds will go to the Fort Recovery Girl Scouts.
We're back. I was wondering if
you were going to do that to me at all tonight, because you hadn't messed with me the whole time.
So, Steve, it has been a pretty quick hour here. So, let's touch on
The next insight needs to be 2 hours then with me.
That's right. I know.
Oh, that reminds me. Are you still doing your Saturday morning thing at WCSM.
Yep, Saturday mornings from 8 to 8:30.
And you'll do that till November maybe or something?
I think the last week of October, first week of November. I can't remember when.
And that's 8:30 to 8 to 8:30. 8 to 8:38 is usually what it comes out to.
Well, I can be long-winded.
Well, you make good explanations and is then, what it is.
And then they JR has to start talking about football, so then we we inevitably get into Ohio State football.
Of course. Yep.
So before we touch on the high points, how's the pool thing going?
Very good. Very good. We've been blessed with, being able to stay busy and, wonderful, wonderful customers. And it's been, Cody, which is Corey's husband, got involved, with that. And he's fantastic. It was a perfect fit because he was doing electrical work and he was doing pool, automation, where he was working down in Northern Kentucky.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I know the nuts and the bolts and, you know, I know that stuff. I am never ever going to claim to be a techie.
Yeah.
Well, he is phenomenal with all the technology that comes along with the pools nowadays. I mean, years ago when I put mine in and it was a pump and a filter and a heater. And you put electric to it and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays the automation, you can control everything with a pool, everything with your phone.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And you can change the jets, you can change the lights, you can change the pump, you can change
the temperature.
You can adjust temperature up and down, sitting in your office or sitting wherever. And if you want it to be 85 when you get home from work, you just pick up your phone, type it in, and then it's amazing.
So I'm assuming that 95% of the pools that are installed in this area have a heater.
That's probably about accurate. Yeah. I mean, we've put in a couple that don't have heaters, but
just seem to get the use out of them.
The amount of time that it increases your enjoyment of a pool, it gives you a month in the spring and a month in the fall.
Yeah.
And so for the price, you're crazy not to put one in.
So would they, like the weather we've had, the temperatures we've had recently, would they still be heating it somewhat?
Heck no.
Okay, because it's been plenty, plenty hot, right?
Plus it hasn't gotten cool at night either, which makes
the water holds. I think all the ones we've done. I mean, most every pool that we've done, we put an automatic cover on, and the automatic cover is a blanket.
I haven't even thought about that.
And so when you're done swimming, you hit a button, it closes, and it holds the heat in. Makes a huge difference, and actually probably had one complaint on and the guy picked his own pool cover. He picked a black cover and he complained this summer that the water was just like bath water all summer.
Oh yeah, because it's absorbing the heat.
Because that black cover the water temperature, I think it was like 87 or something ridiculous. Yeah. And he asked me about it and I'm like, dude, leave the cover open.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. I mean, it's a black cover. It's going to get hot. So that makes a huge difference in, you know, the enjoyment of having an automatic cover like that.
There used to be like in a town the size of Fort Recovery or St. Henry that, you know, there'd be two houses in every town that would have a pool, you know, and, you know, you knew the names of the two people in town that I pulled. Now it's a different thing, and I think
I don't get it. Don't honestly get it, but it's amazing how many people have them and how many people want them, and it's.
But it can be, especially in a neighborhood, it can be a very social thing.
Well, I always, you know, I don't think I'm a used car salesman, but I tell people it's no more expensive than a brand new SUV, and it doesn't decrease in value, and it's something that you're going to have pretty much forever, and it's a way. What we find, or what I've noticed a lot, is it's you know, people like families or men or families like Jack, you know, like your age, and people are your age are putting them in. Yeah. What they're doing is they're enticing their children and grandchildren to come back.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ones that we've done the last couple of years are people that are, you know, to that age where they're wanting their kids and their grandkids to come back and spend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever, spend the whole day and then entertain and hang out and, you know, enjoy the family. Yeah. And that's what's driving that is a destination, you know, instead of going to the swimming pool or going, you know, to the lake or something. It's, you know, come over and let's hang out. We've got an outdoor kitchen. We've got a pool. We can spend the whole day here.
What's the average cost of putting an in-ground pool in? And I know that's a crazy broad question, but is it $10,000, $50,000, $200,000?
It'd be $80,000 to $100,000.
Yeah, and increases your property value, which does increase your property taxes, but also when you're getting ready to sell someday, you know, you have that there. And like you said, lots and lots of people are starting to get them now. It's not like, well, it's not the uppity people that have them. It's the people that want to have them that have them.
Right, and like I said, it's more of a, you know, inviting the friends and family and mm-hmm. have a destination to come and hang out. And
and it cuts back on the amount of dead grass you have from the droughts.
Exactly. It's less mowing. It's less mowing.
But you have to be careful which way you have your mower when you're going around it, so you're not shooting grass into the pool.
My argument with the young families that are doing it is like, you put the pool in, because then your kids are the cool kids, and then everybody wants to be, all the kids want to be at your house, then you can keep an eye on them.
Keep an eye on them.
You know which ones are the good ones, which ones are the troublemakers. Yeah. I said, then you can keep an eye on everybody, and you know exactly what's going on.
So, Steve, I tell you what, it has been a quick hour. So let's touch on some of the biggies that we, okay, so give me the three tips that you've got for people in their lawns right now, just coming out of the drought.
Still, even with the rain that we've had, try to minimize traffic. Mow, I mean, again, if it perks up and greens up and you start seeing nice green grass again or even green taller shoots, it's fine to get on there and mow it, but mow it a little bit higher. And then, you know, again, if the temperatures moderate, which they, I mean, it sounds like the temperatures were back to a little bit more consistent 70s type of weather, put a light application of slow release fertilizer on it. And if you do those things, it's going to recover. Mostly going to recover, I would say, unless, again, you're talking about, you know, lots and lots and lots of heavy traffic. Yeah.
And you'll be able to tell that within the next couple of weeks, and then you may have to overseed,
slice seed, do that process to get it to fill back in.
From a bushes and shrubs and trees, again, you talked about going out to Wangler's and getting that
soaker hose.
Yeah, soaker hose, which is, if you go out there and you tell them that you want a soaker hose, they'll know what that is, right?
Absolutely.
And
big clay will take care of you.
Yeah. Don't be tempted to trim things back too quick.
Yeah, I would shy away from, like, this late in the season. I don't know if I would do a lot of pruning and trimming on any of the woody plants. You certainly don't want to prune and trim anything that's going to be spring flowering. So lilacs, forsythia, crab apples, service berries,
roses,
red buds.
Is that summer flowering?
Roses are completely different, but anything that I just mentioned that's spring flowering, don't trim that at all, because that's already set flower bud for spring. So if you go in, and I have this happen every year, somebody whacks their lilac back in the fall, and then they call me in the spring, I didn't get one bloom on my lilac this year. When'd you prune it? Well, I pruned it last September. Okay, makes perfect sense. You pruned every flower off last September because it already had its buds set for the following spring.
So from a roses standpoint, what, you know, you wait until spring?
There's arguments, and depending on who you read, there's arguments both ways. That trim them back in the fall, get them ready for winter, you know, put some leaf compost or something around them to give them protection, trim them in the fall. Then there's another argument for trimming them in the spring and waiting till spring, seeing what's dead, what's not dead, and then pruning and trimming. I'm an advocate of spring because when I worked for Ohio State, we actually did rose trials for all the rose companies all over the United States. They would send us their roses. We'd grow them for 3 years, and we would evaluate them, you know, disease tolerance, number of blooms, frequency of blooms. We did all that research, and we did not trim any of them back till spring. So we waited. We mulched them in the fall to protect them, and then we trimmed them back in the spring. So that's the way I treat mine.
Fantastic. Steve, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, I'm sorry I was 8 minutes late.
Well, that's Neil's fault.
If you'd have driven the speed limit, you'd get him in 12 minutes late.
Well, that's exactly right. I did not drive the speed limit, I can tell you that.
Went 48 miles an hour.
I can tell you right now, when I came in, there was not one cop on 185. Went flying, crossed 127, went past the campground. Uh-huh. And hit 49 and then was just Mach 1 down 49. There's no cops out there.
Yeah. Well, they're probably still hunting you. Had their drones out. I got a Facebook message that the cops were looking for a white truck.
Very well could have been. When I went by the campground, I'm not real sure if I looked in my rearview mirror, I might have pulled the sign down behind me. I was going so fast.
Well, Steve, say hi to that lovely wife and beautiful family of yours.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the invitation to come up. I always enjoy it.
We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good.
So stay tuned for Sports Talk. Bobby, you got anybody coming in?
Just talking stuff.
Talking sports.
Yep.
Stay tuned for Bubba and Fee right after this.